Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Podcast, an aptly named podcast. Once again, I don't have my usual sidekick. I don't know if call him a usual sidekick anymore since Awesome Ward's been missing from this podcast for a few weeks. We'll see what happens as the preseason ramps up toward the season, the 2021 season for the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I digress. You know, this is the week of the Big Ten meetings as we record this. For the first time, they're going to be held in the city of Indianapolis. But as is usually the case when it comes to Big Ten meetings, there are a lot of questions to be asked of coaches. And the number one question is going to be asked of Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, going into his third season is, hey, Ryan, or Coach Day, who's going to be your starting quarterback? Of course, my buddy Awesome Ward believes the answer has been for a while it's going to be C.J. Stroud. But, you know, the problem with those kind of assumptions is until the head coach makes that call and makes it official or sends that guy out there for that first play, you know, like Woody Hayes did with Art Schleister way back in 1978, sent Art Schleister out to quarterback and Rod Gerald, the incumbent quarterback, out to wide receiver, you never really know what's coming. To this point, Ryan Day is not named a starter. In fact, he has not even named a pecking order when it comes to the Ohio State quarterback battle between C.J. Stroud, Jack Miller, and freshman Cal McCord. If you got to watch the spring game, like a lot of us did, if you watched it on television, you know all three of these guys are ultra-talented. Maybe C.J. Stroud came out of that with a little bit of an edge. But if you watch the way Cal McCord finished up that game, I mean, for a freshman, he's looking pretty good. Jack Miller had a tough start, but I thought rebounded very well. But the bottom line, let's go with the assumption. Let's go with Awesome Ward's assumption that it's C.J. Stroud's job maybe to lose going into preseason camp. What are the Buckeyes going to get with C.J. Stroud? Well, for one thing, if he becomes a starter, he'll be the first starting quarterback in Ohio State history from Rancho Cucamonga High School in California. So he's got that going for him. And so with that in mind, instead of the little bit I've gotten to see him practice and play at Ohio State, if you remember correctly, he didn't throw a pass last year as the appeared to be the primary backup to Justin Fields as the season went on. He did have a running touchdown against Michigan State, which showed a lot of potential from that standpoint. But where he's really excelled the last many years in his development has been throwing the football and not just standing there and throwing it, running around and throwing it, making plays happen, you know, being the MVP of what the 2019 Elite 11 quarterback competition, for example. He wowed some people out there. Is he about to wow people here? Well, you know what? The only guy I know that's, well, there's a lot of people who got to watch him play in high school, but this guy saw him up close and personal. He was his high school head coach and offensive coordinator, Mark Verti, V-E-R-T-I, from Rancho Cucamonga High School. Mark stepped away from coaching this year after last year's weird pandemic season, which ended up, being a spring season for Rancho Cucamonga and many of the schools out in California. But he was kind enough to join me for an interview. Let's just assume C.J. Stroud is going to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State, succeeding Justin Fields, record-breaking in many ways, Justin Fields, or at least eye-opening in many ways, Justin Fields. What are the Buckeyes going to get out of C.J. Stroud? Here's a man who watched him develop first as the offensive coordinator at Rancho Cucamonga, C.J. Stroud's first 2 years there, freshman and sophomore, to his junior senior years when, in fact, Mark Verti was the head coach. He watched him blossom into this player that may be poised to lead the Ohio State offense into yet another realm. So without further ado, let's get to my interview with Mark Verti. And as promised, I'm joined by Mark Verti, former head coach at Rancho Cucamonga. Basically, the 2 years that C.J. Stroud was a starting quarterback there. Mark, thanks for joining the Tim May Podcast.
Thanks, Tim, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it looks like a beautiful day there in Southern California, my man. And I know you're enjoying life now, right? You're like basically kind of swimming in retirement a little bit, right?
Right. It's my first summer off since like eighth grade of high school because I've always had football or coaching going on. And I'm a teacher, so I a lot of guys have summers off, but this has been a very enjoyable summer with my family.
I got you, man. Yeah. Hey, more power to you, man. I've been covering football since I was 19 years old as a sports writer. I'm 67 and I'm semi-retired. Some people think I work harder now than I used to, but let's just get right down into it. You show up at Rancho Cucamonga, get named the head coach there in 2018. You immediately establish CJ. Well, maybe immediately is not the right word. You can fill in the blanks there. Immediately establish CJ Stroud as your starting quarterback. What did you see from this young man right away that caught your eye?
I was there the years before. I was the OC the couple years before that. So we knew that year he's by far the guy. Like, he's just – he had a way to turn him. He was in a big QB battle his first 2 years. He almost got the job his freshman year, really close with Nick Acosta getting it.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, by far his junior year, like he led us. He's captain his junior year, and senior year is by far the captain. Just he has all the traits of a good leader, of a quarterback that you want, the intelligence, the arm, the savvy, right? He has everything you want, the competitiveness. He's just a great QB, great kid.
I was going to say, turn on his highlight video, and it's amazing. Just, I always look at guys. I've been watching this game for a long time, and guys that just play with a smoothness about them. I mean, he seems to be so smooth in everything he does. Is that an accurate portrayal of kind of what you saw on the field from him?
Yeah, it doesn't rattle him. The people bringing pressure or right the time of the game, the pace of the game, the score of the game, it doesn't rattle him at all. He's that level keel kind of a guy that we try to get, and it just probably comes natural to him. We saw it in the basketball court when he played basketball for our school, that fourth quarter overtime, like he's just, it doesn't bug him. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants to make that play.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, Coach, have you spoken with him much in the last year or so? I mean, what's your feel for what he feels about his situation at Ohio State?
We text a few times here and there. I always ask other people who have talked to him, try to get some more about him. And I try not to bug him too much about that kind of stuff. But I know he's enjoying it over there. He's working hard and looking forward to what could come. Last I heard, he just wants to do what's best for the team and trying to make himself better, the team better, that kind of stuff.
Hey, put yourself in Ryan Day's shoes. Here you've got in Corey Dennis's shoes for them, or the quarterback's coach. You've got these three guys that are all, in their own way, have got something special about them. And you as a coach, you as an offensive coordinator, then as a coach, what were you looking for most when you were basically deciding on a quarterback? What needed to come to the fore more than anything else?
I don't know if there's one thing, right? You got to take everything into account. From the arm, the accuracy, the pocket awareness, to the knowing the offense, how to make audibles, what to see, what you see the defense, how do you see the plays, to his interaction with the teammates. Is he going to be the right leader? Do the teammates trust him? Do they like him? There's so much you got to take account for the QB position. It can't just be this one trait, right? It's just, there's a whole bunch that I think coaches see it through the run. Like, they just take it all in and you'll find the right guy.
Does it end up being a gut feel to a certain extent? If in fact you've got two guys who are extremely talented, or three guys are extremely talented, does it almost, because they all got there for the same reasons you just pointed out,
Yeah, right.
Does it end up being sort of a loss of sleep, a few nights gut feel before you name a starter like that?
Yeah, it is tough, right? And there's always a lot of positions you could just play two of them during a game and it works itself out by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right. QB, for the most part, it's tough to rotate guys. You kind of want to make a guy be the captain of the team to take over. So, right. And you build those relationships with those kids throughout that time, and you like them all and you want to do what's best for them all. But then you make the decision. It's tough. It is tough.
Yeah. And it sets the tone. It sets the tenor for your team. I mean, for your team, not just from on the field. Like you said, I mean, the quarterback's got to be a leader. I mean, right. Just by happenstance, he's kind of like the president of the team, right?
Yeah. You get the ball every time, right? They have to trust you with the ball every play. Nobody else could say that. He gets the ball every play and they have to trust what he's doing as well. And if he makes that call for an audible, or he throws the ball to somebody else and not you, you have to trust that was the right thing for the team. And if you don't have that trust, it just can get bad, and they have to have that trust.
What blossomed in him from like his maybe freshman year to junior year in high school that you saw that just, I mean, you know, that he was, you know, you talked a while ago about how, you know, he struck you from the get-go, but what just blossomed in him over the 2 years leading up to him becoming your starter?
He's behind an intelligent, good quarterback. So every year he got better. It wasn't just blossom from sophomore to junior year. The guy graduated, but CJ every year was getting better from just throwing he always threw a nice deep ball, a nice accurate deep ball. But then he started realizing that you don't need to go deep every time. He could throw it off and drop it off. But by the end of his junior year, he's getting better and better. By the end of his junior year, his audibles, his protections, all this stuff was right on. And his senior year, there's so many times where he got us out of a bad play into a good play. He audibled to a blown coverage to a receiver, and they were just kind of on the same page. And the protection, he knew all of our protection. So if a blitz is coming, guy, we couldn't pick up. He'd have the running back or O-line pick it up. And that was a big gain from him from his sophomore year to the end of his senior year. His just knowledge of the offense and the protection of the run game and all that was kind of on him. And he got a lot of bad run plays where the defense were overloaded to one side. He knew what play to come back and counter it. And he did all that for us and did it very well.
What is it like as a coach to see a guy improve like that? Like I call it blossom because, you know, you're this flower and you keep getting a little bit better and better and suddenly you're this rose. What is it like, number one, to see a guy do that, but then number two, to feel him take control of the game to a certain extent in critical moments? It's where you want a player to get to, right? I mean,
right. Exactly. It's not – see him every day. It's not overnight. Like, that might be for some fans. You see him those 10, 12, 15 games, like, whoa, this guy's a huge jump. But you see it throughout. But then all of a sudden, senior year, you're like, wow, like, that's just a great read. And you'll see him talking out there audibling, and then we'll be like, I think he's calling this, and he does, and just it makes sense. Right? You see on the signs of the coach, you see up on top that you see that, oh, this is open. But then I'm actually seeing it and doing it, and just it would just make sense. And some of his throws through the lanes, like on the run through a lane, just hitting a guy for a touchdown, we're like, wow, that's special, you know? Just all of a sudden you see those plays that aren't average high school football plays.
I was going to say the plays that weren't drawn up, they just happen on the fly. I mean, you know,
right, that's big in high school. In a lot of sports, right? It's a lot of cheapies, like touchdowns that come. It's a blown play that works. It's a realization that defense didn't line up correctly. That one play, instead of trying to call back and they fix it the next play, the QB takes advantage of that one play, the missing line and hits it.
Yeah.
That one blown coverage, he's able to see it because he has great vision. Probably from his basketball days as a guard, he has good vision. So he's able to see that and take advantage of it. And a lot of times you can't wait to the next play to beat that defense on that. You have to take advantage of that one time they mess up, and he does that.
Yeah, yeah. Sees the opportunity. Carpe diem, but that's the day. right. Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, but that's what, in my opinion, nowadays, but it always has been this way. I've been watching football since the early 60s, and the quarterback that can do that is just that's the difference maker, really, when you get to the elite level, you know, the cream of the crop, the Patrick Mahomes just wheeling and dealing occasionally. He runs mostly patterned plays, but when he has to make a play, he does it. Even Tom Brady does that, right? I mean, in his own way.
Right, and all the greats do. They take advantage of what the defense got them and knows when to throw it before it's open and how it's going to be open, but still – take advantage of the matchup. You know that your guy's better than that guy through film. You know pre-snap where the pressure's coming from, where a lot of QBs don't know. Like, all that is big, and some guys have that and some don't. And that's how they get paid the most money in the NFL. It's just a big job.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you kind of touched on it a while ago, though. I would say that if you had to state something that – I don't know if it's underrated, it's not the correct term, but something that needs to be appreciated about a C.J. Stroud is it's clear he does his homework, right? I mean, how long has he been – I guess, committed to that aspect of the game?
His freshman year, he's always putting time in on the film work. And we'd come in on Mondays and do our scouting report, and he'd be ready for it. And on pre-game tests, he's all prepared for it. But his senior year is just a different level. Junior year was better, but senior year, he'd come in Mondays and know all of our plays that we're going to put in. He had those down. He would come up with some other ones that he thought would be open, and he'll have a reason for doing it, not just like, hey, I saw this play on Madden, let's run it. It'll be like he'll show me clips off of film he's watched and like, hey, look at this, we could beat them with this zone here, and if we do this play here that we have, but plays that we already have in the playbook out of different formations, he wouldn't know those, and we could do this play on this formation because look at these clips that we saw, you know. And he spent hours of film, and because of that trust we built up as a staff with him, we trusted what he was saying, and It wasn't just like, move on. Like, he was right a lot of times with that.
Wow. I mean, that takes trust on both sides, right? I mean, yeah.
Right. Some coaches just like brush the kids off. Like, I just know everything. But
yeah.
Not the good ones. You got to listen to them. And especially the guys who built up that trust. And he's one of those guys who had.
Yeah, I was going to say, and, you know, no one sees it from the quarterback's perspective except the quarterback. I'm talking about when you're on the field, et cetera. I mean, you know, it's really easy to watch from the press box or even sometimes the sideline, but it matters what the quarterback is seeing and how he's adjusting, et cetera, right? I mean, that's and the guys that – yeah, that's what impresses me. I think what impresses me, too, when you watch his video is just how good he is on the move throwing the ball.
Accurate, right? Like – running right, throwing left, running left, throwing right, whatever. It just it's an accurate, catchable ball when he's moving around.
And did y'all, as he was coming up, do y'all practice that kind of stuff? I mean, or is a lot of that just pure, like a shortstop, natural stuff that happens sometimes?
A lot of it's natural because no matter how much you practice, some guys can't pick it up. But, yeah, that's – like I was the QB guy, so I always thought that that's a big skill in high school especially. You're not going to have 5-6 grade old linemen and – protection, you're going to have guys get beat. And so many plays, if a QB can buy time, the DBs don't cover long enough, a guy can get open. So learn how to throw on the run.
Yeah.
Not just play action rollouts or sprint outs, but just be able to make a D lineman miss and then buy some time and throw on an accurate ball. It's just because you can get guys open if you buy time. And if you could throw an accurate ball when they're open, it helps those plays become huge.
Yeah, I was going to say, his only touchdown to date is a Buckeye. He ran the ball against Michigan State. Yeah, I think you probably saw that, you know, or at least you saw video of it. what does it mean now? You know, we talked about this earlier a little bit, but what does it mean now to have in the game a guy that can beat you with his feet when all else fails? Because he appears to be a guy that wants to sit in there. Sitting there is not the right term, but wants to make the play, the original play, or wants to get the ball down the field. But what does it mean now? And is that what everybody's looking for? Is that player anymore?
Right. It's just, you know, they have to have a defender responsible for him a little bit. Like he's deceptively faster than he has those long, smooth strides that you're not going to catch from behind. Right. He gets moving and, but he likes to pass the ball off. He wants his teammates to get the ball. He's aware in practice if some guy hasn't got the ball yet to make sure that guy gets the ball in practice or in a game, like, just to keeping everybody happy is part of being a good QB. You got to feel your teammates and how they're doing. And, hey, coach, you got to get this guy the ball. Like, let's go get him the ball. And have that awareness, but still take – like, you got to win games. He's one of the most competitive guys I've ever been around. He wants to win everything from little competitions to practice to games. So he's going to do what it takes to win, but still a lot of teams see now if your whole team's involved, you have a better shot to win. He did a good job distributing the ball to everybody.
Coach, did you get to watch any of Ohio State's spring game? Did you get to see a replay or anything?
I've been watching a lot of just the little practice clips that I know a lot of you have me in the practice. Any kind of practice clips I've been seeing out there, I've been hopping on, and the spring game for sure. And it's exciting. It's the Ohio State's the depth they have. I'm trying to tell people because I'm following along because of CJ, so I'm close. So I'm telling my buddies out, they're 10, 12 deep at receivers. Their old lines, all of their tight ends, it's just – right, they're the best incoming freshman running back coming in with the starter coming back. It's just it's a very good situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, boy, wouldn't you like to drive that car? But, you know, of course, you got to keep the car on the track, as the old saying goes, right? Well, why is Ohio State and even Alabama, you know, obviously Alabama, why have they had so much success, you think, going to the West Coast and getting that occasional big-time player now? What's the dynamic that's going on there, from your opinion as a high school coach?
It looks like if you look at the pro sports, my opinion, who knows? But pro sports kids like going to winners, right? Like the players, like you see the NBA players, you see pro NFL players, they're joining winners, right? They want to. They don't mind creating a super team, so they all have contacts now from these camps and these from online social media. They have contacts with these people and. Let's join. Let's make this team work. Let's make it Ohio State's class coming in this year and the last few years. Right, they're just all coming in to make this team. And Alabama has been doing that. And people like winners. And right now, with the two LA teams having a tough time, and they're going across the nation, getting a little bit more TV coverage, ESPN coverage, that helps. And playing the big BCS games helps too.
You know. How old are you right now, Mark?
43.
Yeah. In your lifetime, though, have you seen, I mean, you've seen this. I was talking with the coach at JT Tuamolo's school last week and stuff, you know, the kid who signed from up in up near Seattle. And it's almost like a big nation now, right? Instead of like, I mean, you can watch every Ohio State game if you want to. I mean, like you said, the social media has allowed you to expand and all your friendships. You can have friends from, you know, 2,000, 5,000 miles away. Is that like you're talking about? That's part of it too, right? That you can be from Rancho Cucamonga and playing for Ohio State, but all your friends can still see you play, right?
Exactly, right. And it's easy. Everybody's going to see you play, and the contact back home is fast and quick. And just those relationships you build up going to the opens and going to these big national combines, right? You start throwing to those players, you start blocking, tackling those guys that you get to know. And hey, where are you going? Where are you going? They just get, they're in the hotel hanging out. They're hanging out at night. They become friends and they end up going to the same place and having a good time that way too.
Hey, you know, you've been in the cutting edge of like offensive football. I'm from I'm originally from deep East Texas, and originally before that Alabama, but I've lived up here for 40 something years. But in Texas for now, for example, high school games last 3.5 hours because everybody throws the ball, spreads the field, etc. You've seen this happen. Is the genie ever going back in the bottle, do you think, on spread guys, getting guys in space, etc.? I mean everybody's going to want to run the ball a little bit, but where do you see this going, man?
I think that's what Ohio State, Alabama, they do, right? Like, right. It's just, they have 12 personnel in the game. They're still blocking. They're still doing a bunch set and putting big guys in and running the ball. And that's what Ryan Day does well at Ohio State. Like, they have tight ends. They run the ball very well. Right. There's still some schools that I know that just run the ball 80% of the time and do that. So it's still there. Just more formations now than before. And then more shifts and motions probably than before. So, just now with the run pass option, a lot of run plays being called that end up being a pass, but there's a lot of run plays being called.
Yeah.
So it just, why run the ball? If one guy misses a block, he gets nothing. If you throw the ball, it's the easy completion. Get those 5 yards throwing the ball. So it's just the RPOs are probably the big thing, or the PROs, the pass run options or run pass options. Those are probably the big two things that make less run plays, but there might be more run plays being called in all these offenses.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, but when you see Nick Saban go to that mode, you know, a couple of years ago, then you know things have really changed and stuff. And you've seen quarterbacks coming up, and it's headed now matriculating, I think, into the NFL and stuff. But are the CJ Strouds? Is that what everybody? Oh, that's a dumb question. Is that what everybody's looking for now? You know, in your mind,
right? I think they're just looking for a guy who could see what's open and know it. You don't need to have the Tom Brady win Super Bowls. He's not running the ball, right? You don't need the guy who needs to run, but he could see what's open and could hit it on time. You don't want the guy dancing in the back when guys are open and he's can't see them. You don't want that guy. You want the guys to get to the right play and deliver the ball at the right time. And whoever does that the best is, if the guy could run and do that, that's better, right? But you just need the guy who could see what's open and get the ball who's open.
Gotcha. Hey, last thing. What would be your advice? What will be your advice to CJ as he goes into preseason camp? Because, you know, Ryan Day, as a coach is wont to do, said, you know, the quarterback job is not settled. You know, he's got three stars there that all have different abilities, including, you know, the freshman Kyle McCord looks pretty good, you know. What would be your advice to CJ? Because, you know, these guys, they're always looking for these guys to assert themselves as leaders and stuff, but can you really assert yourself until you are the guy? If you follow my drift, what would be your, I guess, advice to him?
Just work hard. I always tell him, just work hard, right? Just do what you can to take care of your business. And, right? And his personality, he's going to get to know the guys and be the leader out there. And hey, you could like work on people's routes and protections. He'll do that, right? But just take care of what you can take care of. And don't let the other stuff stress you out. You can't stress out about stuff you have no power over. And he does a good job of putting his work in.
All right. I know I said last thing, but I have a calling card. I always ask one more question anyway. Give me that one play from 2019 or maybe 2018 that just sticks in your mind about CJ Stroud. Man, this guy is special.
There was a pass versus Calabasas. He got through defenders for a touchdown. I was impressed by. There's a – it could be that a run play in our last game with Sierra Cannon where he got us out of a bad run play, and then he audible to a weak side. They flew there on it, and he pulled the ball and kept it and scored on a big run. Just those kind of things where it's his – you see his physical ability with his mental ability working together. Right, those are the kind of things that he did so well.
Yeah, that's what sets the great ones apart. Hey, Mark Verde, thank you very much for joining me, man.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciated Coach Verde coming on with me. You know, I love talking to high school coaches, man, because you know, on the one hand, they're the fellas that really develop most of these players you see at Ohio State. I mean, they really develop from a freshman to a senior in high school, from who is that phenomenal looking athlete to who is that phenomenal looking football player. And of course, Ohio State now, starting with Urban Meyer and then right continuing on through Ryan Day now, has recruited some of the great players in the country. They're stockpiling them, for want of another term. And, but Mark Verde saw the potential for greatness in CJ Stroud a long time ago. And now maybe Ohio State fans are going to get to see the same thing. But I always go back to this. Until the head coach names the starting quarterback, you're a little bit – I don't know. It's a little bit risky to, like, step out there on a limb. Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen that much of C.J. Stroud at Ohio State. Neither is anybody else who covers Ohio State. Yeah, you hear word of mouth, you know, what's going on, et cetera. You get the idea that C.J. Stroud probably is ahead when it comes to this competition, you know, with quarterback coach Corey Dennis leading the way there and Ryan Day, of course, having the final say. The head coach always has a final say on the starting quarterback. That's for damn sure. But, you know, you look back on some of the quarterback battles of the recent past at Ohio State when J.T. Barrett led Ohio State to the brink of the postseason in 2014. Cardale Jones stepped in and led them to the 2014 college football playoff national championship, the first ever. And they had that battle going into preseason camp. And lo and behold, Cardale Jones emerged. Was Cardale Jones promised he was going to be the starter if he came back to school for that year? Urban Meyer, no one's ever really really said that was a guarantee. Then you had, of course, the Joe Burrow, Dwayne Haskins Jr. battle for the starting quarterback job in, what, 2018, the spring of 2018. And, you know, Joe Burrow was not given assurances, I guess enough assurances that where he stood in the pecking order, thought he had a great spring, and he did have a great spring. So did Dwayne Haskins Jr. Joe Burrow ended up transferring to LSU, and 2 years later ends up winning the Heisman Trophy, becoming number one pick in the NFL draft, and is now, after recovering from injury, about to lead the Cincinnati Bengals again. So, you know, it's just interesting to watch these things, because until Ryan Day steps out and says, this guy is the starter, it's a little bit risky to step out there and say he should be the starter, because, you know, let's face it, Ryan Day and Corey Dennis and that group see these guys a hell of a lot more than we do. I think it was pretty easy to assume that Justin Fields was going to be the starter in 2019. But until Ryan Day named him the starter, Ryan Day wanted to see more of Justin Fields in the summer and preseason camp before handing it over to him. Because let's face it, Justin Fields didn't have the greatest of spring games by any stretch. He ended up being one of the more maybe as dynamic a quarterback as Ohio State has ever had. Can C.J. Stroud be that guy? Boy, when you watch him on video, what the word that stands out about the way he played, especially his last year at Rancho Cucamonga High School in California, the word that stands out is smooth. The other word that stands out is accurate, meaning the way he was throwing the ball on the run. And then going back to the smooth part, kind of reminds me a little bit of Russell Wilson. I love the way Russell Wilson carries himself on the football field. Same with Patrick Mahomes. I'm not putting C.J. Stroud in that realm yet. But the bottom line is, these guys sometimes are just – they just look so smooth. They seem like they see what's happening before anybody else does. C.J. Stroud has that about him from just observing his videos, et cetera. And, you know, and as you heard Coach Birdie point out, his former high school coach, where C.J. Stroud really stood out was in the leadership realm, but also in the preparation realm. And that's what really separates the good, the great from the good, is the guys that have all the ability in the world, but then they put in all the work so that football, the exercise of playing football becomes almost deja vu moments for them instead of like eye opening, oh, I better react kind of moments. And C.J. Stroud appears to have that ability and capability. Those are probably the same. Those probably mean the same thing, but it just sounds cool to say capability as opposed to ability. But anyway, I digress as usual. Maybe Ryan Day will shed some light on the quarterback situation this coming Friday in Indianapolis when it's his time to go to the podium and then to sit there for an hour and answer questions from guys like me and others who cover Ohio State football. But until he puts the final signature on, yes, this is the guy who's going to set the tone, not just for the Ohio State offense, but for the Ohio State football team. The quarterback is, ipso facto, the leader of the football team, whether he's a captain or not. You know, it's folly for anyone to just step out on him and say, yes, this is the guy. Because as we've all seen in preseason camps, a la 2014, things can happen which twist fate. And, you know, Braxton Miller going down with a shoulder injury and JT Barrett being named as a redshirt freshman as a starting quarterback at Ohio State. You know, you saw where that serendipity led. It led to a national championship. I expect all three of these guys to come out throwing when preseason camp opens for the Buckeyes. So the month of August is going to be extremely interesting. But, you know, I kind of agree with my buddy Awesome Ward that going into this, you just got the sense C.J. Stroud has got the edge, because he had the edge at the end of the season last year. You know, he was the primary. He ended up being the guy who stepped in for Justin Fields a couple of times when Justin Fields got popped. But I keep going back to this also. C.J. Stroud has yet to complete a pass or throw a pass in major college football. So I would think this battle is still, to a certain extent, wide open if somebody really steps forward in the preseason and or someone or two step back, then it will become more clear for Ryan Day and his staff. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, you can pay attention to my podcast and all the other developments on lettermanrow.com, because we're going to be covering this battle just like the battles in the secondary, the battles for starting linebacker spots, you know, the JT Tuimoloau rise along with Jack Sawyer, maybe the arguably the two best defensive end recruits in Ohio State football history in the same class, you know, I guess by metrics, according to the recruiting experts, maybe they're the two best anyway. But it's going to be a fun preseason camp to cover and see the developments with Ohio State football. So until next week, or until I feel like it, this is Tim May with the Tim May Podcast. We'll see you then.